are on the air here on WWGH Radio, Wednesday, June the 10th, 2020, 6-10-2020, 18 coming up on 19 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears and Glenn Coble on our new program here on the air as of last week. Just a discussion of anything that comes to anybody's mind in the next 2 hours. Although this is anniversary here day here at WWGH Radio, it comes once a year. 6 years we have now been on the air. Went on the air June the 10th, 2014, and here we are. And what a morning it has been. Dick Cavett and David Newell and Sam Donaldson and Colleen Marshall and my mother. There you go.
Letterhead day for me because I get to tell everybody I know somebody that talked to all those people this morning.
It's a big morning. You know what's funny about that whole thing, and I was saying it after Sam Donaldson called in because he was right off the bat this morning, is that... you know, you do watch these people when you're younger, and they are big deals. Dick Cavett was a very huge talk show host, and Sam Donaldson was a very well-respected, well-known newsman.
Two of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah. So when they call in, and they know you, and they say nice things like that, because they can, you can ask them to call in all day long, but you can't ask them to say nice things
about
you.
Well, I'll say bad things about you.
Well, you can go ahead. I hope so, because I'm filled with, like, saccharin now after doing that two-hour broadcast that I don't quite know where to go. But, you know, here we are in our big, I should mention that our big special will be tonight, and that's for the local folks here. That's the people who do shows here. Be about 15 of us here tonight. 7:10 to 9 p.m.
You shouldn't have said that. Now my wife is definitely going to say you can't go.
Oh, 7 to 10 is over the limit?
No, yeah.
10 to 15. What did I say?
You said 15.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to... Who knows, really? I mean, I don't know who will show and who will... If it's raining, maybe we'll get nobody. But
it's going to be raining.
Well, here, let's count them. Here's who's going to be here tonight.
Okay.
Adam Lepp.
Yeah.
Are you counting?
I got my thumb working.
Okay, Adam Lepp, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Linda Sims, Mike Wilson, Pastor Whitaker, Nate Redman, myself, you, Mary Ellen, Jeff Ruth, and...
Mike?
Oh, did I not say Mike?
Oh, maybe you did.
Oh, no, Glenn, we're going to have to start again.
No, that's 11.
That's 11. And then I Nate will probably bring his wife, which I hope he does, because he brought her to the Christmas party. That's good. And, oh, there is another person, but I'm not going to...
Oh.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is coming to
Santa
this
Claus
one, too.
Santa Claus is coming to this one, too. Sure. Santa Claus. And maybe some others here and there. So, I'm just saying between 10 and 15 at this point. I really don't know what the actual number will be. But... I do want to let people know that from the beginning, our anniversary parties have had the Leshefsky brothers performing. Mm-hmm. And because of coronavirus and because of their age, we thought that might not be a good idea this particular year. But we will have the Leshefskys back, and we did talk to them about it. So, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as long as I have a prior commitment that I have to go to, so I'm going to come in late. And sneak in because my wife's going to think I'm still at the other commitment. No, she knows better because it's the other commitment's on Zoom. It'll be in my house. But anyway, I'm going to sneak in late.
Well, I think better to come later than earlier.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because then nobody can blame you for eating all the food.
Well, also because if you are because. What time is your Zoom meeting?
Let's see. Oh, I don't know. I could look it up on my phone. I think it's right around 7:30.
7:30. Oh, well, see, there you go. You'd only be here for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'd have to leave. But I'm sure it'll be over by 8. So you might even be here for, you know,
the last one we had like this was over an hour, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they talk about?
Well, it's the Democrats people, and they talk about everything under the sun. There's a lot of complaining going on.
Well, see,
but really, it's kind of a, what do they call it, a focus group.
Well, just keep your eyes peeled for 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, listen, I got to go at 8 o'clock. I got an engagement. I listened to you complain for 30 minutes. That's enough.
Yeah.
Because if you get here by 8:15, you'll be here for the entire second hour.
Well, the only trouble is if I get here by 8:15, Jeff Ruth will have eaten all the pizza.
Well, you know, I'm a little worried about this year because we've got, I know we've got a cheese tray. I know we've got homemade dessert coming. I know we've got pizzas. I know we've got that whole bit. But... And we've had the Leshefsky brothers, and we've had groups, mm-hmm. but I know how Jeff can eat, and I'm...
You know, Jeff, I hope you're not listening.
I don't know. He's got a bottomless
He does.
Pit.
I've seen him in press boxes finish wings, the number of wings you couldn't believe.
It's interesting because he's rail thin.
He is.
But yet, you know, I've been out with him when he's had spaghetti all you can eat and fish all you can eat, and it's a thing.
We used to go to House of Hunan about once every 3 or 4 months, and I don't think he ever took anything home in a box.
That's right. That's exactly right. So here we are. This is the sixth anniversary. Now, you came on in December of 2018, yeah. So a little about a year and a half now you've been on the air, year and 7 months. Now, what are some of your shows that you would put in the time capsule?
None.
Oh, well, I'm glad we're airing those things. Nothing sticks out in your mind?
No, not really. Yes, I guess the one that really does stick out in my mind, and I think tomorrow will stick out in my mind later because I'm having Reverend Kiger on at 11:16, and Reverend Kiger is just an all-time favorite of mine, but Dean Kaler, the gentleman that was shot in at the Kent State thing. Dean and I had been friends for a long time because Dean was down at OU when I was there. But it was so interesting because he took us through, I think we talked for an hour. I think it was a whole hour, well, 45 minutes. And he took us through the whole days before and the day of. And then afterwards, it inspired him to put online on Facebook about six paragraphs of what happened on that day 50 years ago. And so that was very important. And I really like to save that. Most of the days that I've been on, believe it or not, I usually prepare for them for 2, 3, 4 hours before I get here. Or usually the night before with my puppy dog. Most of them I'm pretty proud of, but none of them would I think are earth-shattering, except for maybe that one.
Well, are there any moments? Because you have been in the building quite a bit. You have been to, I believe, 2 Christmas parties, yeah. 1 anniversary party. Anything that sticks out in your mind there? Oh, election night last year.
Yes.
I was talking about that earlier, where you were at Democratic headquarters.
I love election night. I've done election night at other stations a few times, but this time it was pretty good because we had a good turnout. I was covering the Democrats over at the Elks Club, and it was a good turnout, and we had several people that were willing to talk and talk at length. So it was easy for me. I like that. Matter of fact, I still have to go pick up the radio I left there. Anyway.
Well, what I loved about it was we never left the air.
No. Uh-uh.
We never left the air for 2.5, 3 hours, something like that. And the mayor came down here to the studio, right? But he did that. You know, we've been on through 2 mayoral elections, and he did that the first time, too, mm-hmm. when he was elected back in 2015. He's good that way.
Yeah.
He'll come down to the studio when he wins, and we appreciate that. And last year, we had a candidate, Tara Dyer, in the studio with us, so that was interesting. And, the group in studio I thought was great. I mean, we had Sean here. We had Terry at Republican headquarters. We had Linda down at the Board of Elections. We had you at Democratic headquarters. We had Mike Wilson.
Linda had her hands full.
She did, but I'll tell you, it turned out to be great because the internet site went down as the results were coming in.
So we were the only ones
ones who had it.
Yeah.
And she was the only one down there.
Yeah.
That was a great night.
Yeah, it was a good night. We had a few interesting candidates. Shannon Freshour, who is now running against Jim Jordan, was there and had a good speech, a good discussion with me. So we had some important people down there, and I just like talking. With politicians.
To me, that night, I thought the two most important interviews were Kelly Carr. Because that was the story that
day. What a brave lady she was.
Yeah, but the start of that day was that her opponent had been charged with something, and she came on the air live and said, I will not contest this either way. Yep. So that was a moment I remember.
And she didn't throw dirt.
No, she didn't, and I thought that was very interesting. And then I thought it was a unique, very I thought it was very, because election night becomes very much Democrat, Republican, count the votes, and I thought having the mayor's wife on was interesting, because that had nothing to do either way.
That was done out of necessity, because I was waiting for the mayor, and he didn't show up for a long time, and so I said...
And never spoke to you when he got there.
Yeah, no, he didn't, but he came down here.
He did come down here.
His wife was very, very kind, and she said she'd give... And then she... Well, she's a bright lady. She's a school teacher, and she's just a bright lady. She was an easy interview.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would put her on the phone, and then I would have to talk to these people.
Yeah.
But the radio was on down there, which was great, and Terry, I believe, had us on at Republican headquarters. So it was fun. That was a fun night. But we've done election night since the beginning, since 2014.
Yeah, we're going to do it this year?
We'll do it this year. There are certain things we don't do away with. Christmas and election night and anniversary, those are the ones that seemingly stick out each and every year. We got a break here, and then we'll be back in exactly 1 minute on WWGH Radio. Don't go anywhere. Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble back with you here on the air on WWGH Radio. Now, we do have some programming notes, but I should mention the toll-free line is up and running, 740-383-9944. If you want to talk about the anniversary, share a favorite moment maybe you have from this station. I know a lot of you have been listening since day one. Or anything else, call in if you have a question. Did you hear the caller? You did. You heard our friend. Did you hear about the police officer last
night? Yes, I did.
Now, what'd you make of that, who's been at all the protests?
Well, I'm not surprised, and I'm going to talk about that.
On Chestnut, wasn't it?
Yes. I'm going to talk about not that specific incident, but incidents like that. I'm going to talk about it on my show this afternoon, Progressive Life. But I hate to give away my show, but...
Well, let me just say this. For people who weren't maybe listening earlier on, we had one of our callers call in and say he either lived there or was on his bike on Chestnut last night.
I think the person that the policeman was chasing or yelling at was on a bicycle, but...
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And somehow there was an altercation between... It was a kid, is what I understood.
Yeah, that's the way he made it sound.
And
it
would have been a city police officer on Chestnut Street. Mm-hmm. And I guess the city police officer was using some colorful language.
Yeah.
And I guess a call was placed to the mayor this morning about this. So I don't know. I think that's very interesting that would happen after 2 weeks of protests.
Yeah, it may indicate how tone deaf some of our police may be. And I'm not saying all of our police. However, I think we're going to have to... look deeper into vetting our police officers better. And the very first thing is we got to pay them as if their positions were as important as they truly are.
I mean, it could have been. See, the problem is, as I was saying earlier, not because we think the caller might be saying something that's untrue, we just weren't there.
Yeah, yeah. No,
we didn't witness it.
You can't claim it as
no.
a fact.
Yeah. So I don't know, did the kid on the bike say something to the officer? Did something transpire? I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
Well, at the protest two weeks ago, not this last one, a young person, male person, two of them, I believe, came right downtown, and raced their motorcycles and did wheelies and stuff like that, showing off, you know, as young men tend to do. I am so embarrassed that I was ever a young man. But anyway, as young men will do, these two guys were hollering things and racing up and down and doing wheelies. And the cops chased him down the street. Well, you got to slow that sort of thing down. It's just going to lead to anger and fighting. And stuff.
So what was this past? I understand the first week's protest. You know, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm just saying I understood why it was happening. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite understand this past weekend, because by the time we got to this past weekend, the officer, the charges had been upgraded. Mm-hmm. The other three officers had been charged. Mm-hmm. They will stand trial. So what is the protest at this point?
It has nothing to do with anger or anything to do with getting even. It has to do with the systemic racism that America has. And I think most of the people there would agree that it isn't a disagreement with what went on. Obviously, they... killing a man like Mr. Floyd was the instigation of it, but people are just fed up with having to be embarrassed by our fellow people, fellow citizens, who will not take their knee off the neck of African Americans, Asian Americans, believe it or not, Hispanic Americans. And the problem is that we've had years and years of this. 100 years ago, we wouldn't take our knee off the Italians. And, you know, it just goes on.
Well, let's take our phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, yesterday was the funeral for George Floyd. And I don't think you'd find anybody in the United States that didn't agree that he was murdered.
But it was on
I
TV.
Was very disappointed in the outcry of David Dorn. A lot of people don't even know who that was. But he was a ex-black police chief who mentored young people and during the demonstrations was protecting a pawn shop and was killed by looters.
Yeah.
Now, and you... he was hardly even mentioned, and I'm thinking, I don't understand that. Like, you know, he was an outstanding citizen in his community, and there was no outrage at all for that. And
well, I heard two or three stories on it, so there were people that noticed it. I think maybe
but not to the extent that George Floyd was.
No, but. People didn't get the opportunity, what a terrible word to say, but people didn't see him getting shot. And he was shot almost by accident, I guess, because he was standing in the doorway of his shop and guns were fired. And I think it was by accident, whereas Mr. Floyd was murdered.
Well, that's a different story than I heard.
Okay, you know, well...
The looters even stepped over him. He staggered out to the sidewalk. They didn't try to help him.
No, they won't.
And his body was filmed on video. So, you know, but there was absolutely, you know, just almost no outrage over that. It was covered by very small amount of coverage, and there was absolutely no outrage.
I was heartbroken. I wasn't outraged. It broke my heart that somebody, and he was a very upstanding citizen, from what I read or heard.
But I just felt that they couldn't make it political, so they didn't cover it. So, you know, I was just very disappointed in the coverage of that. Like, you know, but and the other thing is they talk about the blacks being, I've heard genocide, the word used. In last year, there were 9 unarmed blacks killed by police officers. 9. Now, that's 9 too many. Most of them, except for one, were threatening the police officers, either trying to run them down with cars or whatever. But there are, what? I heard there were, last year there were 97 police officers killed in the line of duty. It's just, I don't know. The coverage, just they're politicizing it, and I don't think the coverage is fair. You know, it's a tragedy one way or the other. All lives matter to me. I mean, we should be colorblind, but, you know, they're trying to make it a race thing. So, anyway, I just thought I would bring up David Dorn's. I just felt bad for his family that the way that.
I think we should all feel bad for anybody that's killed for no reason. We need to find a way to quit killing people, period. Whether it's black, white, yellow, pink, purple, whatever.
Absolutely.
We need to find a way to allow each other to like each other. And to find a way to point fingers is not helping anything. And I really hate seeing that.
It is not. And, you know, I think, you know, dismantling police departments is one of the worst ideas I think I've ever heard. So.
Well, I'm going to talk about that on my show today, and I think maybe I'll help you out understanding what they're saying. I absolutely agree with you that dismantling police departments is ridiculous, but I don't think that's really what they're planning to do. But we'll watch it.
Yeah. On another note, Scott's still there?
Yeah, sure. I'm here.
Okay. You know, last night at the Industrial Club, we had Heidi Jones from Marion Matters, and I was talking to her. I think you were talking about naming the show. I think it was last week, and somebody said Marion Matters. You said there's also
unfortunately,
a program there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was me that said that, like an idiot.
Yeah. She spoke about Marion Matters, and it is a fantastic. You should have her on your show. It is a program here in Marion that does wonderful work with families that are struggling, and with a very high success rate. So I would highly recommend you get Heidi as a guest.
I'll do that. So. Well, I'll look into that. I think she might have been on a couple years ago, but it was an interesting conversation, I remember.
I was involved. I was involved with that when it started because I was at Marion Community Credit Union, and we supported it. As a matter of fact, we donated to it and helped it get going. As a matter of fact, they even used our third building. So.
Yeah, she even mentioned that.
Yeah.
So, but it's a great program that is. I don't know how well known it is in Marion, but they do really great work.
Good.
So, okay, thank you for your time.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling.
Bye bye. Well, and there we go. And that's a discussion that's being had amongst the country right now.
Right.
So the protest this past weekend. Is there going to be another one this weekend?
I haven't heard of one, no. I think the reason why there were two, you asked that initially. The second one was just to reinforce the fact that we were... a lot of the American public is tired of finger-pointing, of discrimination, and all of us have some form, including yours truly, of bias just because we were raised in this country. But I think the protest has a little more strength in it than some of the others have had. I think people will be more, at least more conscious of the fact that we are killing a lot. And I don't know about I don't know the answer to this. The caller said that only 9 unarmed people, black people, were killed last year by police. I would question that. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I'm going to look that up. And I think that's what the protests are about. We're just tired of the common man, and I even hate to use that term, but you and I and our brothers and sisters of all races and creeds being abused by people of power and money.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Get on the in on the conversation with anything you have to say. 43 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. I don't know. I think it's all very interesting. I think it's interesting to watch as the parade goes by.
I love you. Every time you don't want to get... tied down. It's very interesting.
It's very interesting. You're exactly right.
I love it.
Well, I just, I don't know.
Well, you shouldn't. You're a news guy. You shouldn't get involved in it.
Now, see, last week I heard you say, I was listening to the beginning of your show.
Uh-huh.
And you said these words. You say, Scott thinks he's a newsman. And I thought, well,
that was tongue-in-cheek.
Was that tongue-in-cheek? No, you know what? It's funny, though, because people used to tell me they were journalists, and I show me your journal.
Some people did keep them.
You know, I just, I would consider myself, it's a talk show host. I'm not out chasing fires. So it's a talk show host, but it's an unbiased talk show host.
You're trying to maintain your center position.
Well, I don't
so
know
the
that.
People
I
can
don't,
trust you.
Yeah, but I'm not a centrist. What I am is somebody who wants to hear what the guest has to say.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think what my opinion in a broadcasting field, I don't think it matters. I don't know why the host's opinion matters. I don't understand. I don't understand Rush Limbaugh. I don't understand Rachel Maddow. I don't understand any left, right, up, down. I don't understand. I don't care to know what the host's opinion is.
Well, I think in both of those cases, the host opinion is leaning towards an audience.
We're waiting for a break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Sorry.
Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 BC than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 BC in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble back on this 6th anniversary of WWGH Radio on the air program here. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Don't forget the big anniversary party here tonight, 7:10 to 9 p.m. It's going to be stories and fun and laughter galore.
Well, I'm going to go back just for a second. And the reason why I named my program A Progressive Life is so that nobody had any question where I stood.
For my own personal belief, I always thought the best talk shows were hosted by people who had guests. See, I don't want to listen to somebody with no guests. Now, local people, that's different, because locally you're telling me something that's going on locally, even if I don't agree with your viewpoint. But nationally, I want to see a guest. You have access to experts. You have access to people who are working on these issues. You have access to people who saw the stuff happen live. Why do I need to know what you think?
Well, and you picked out two people, Maddow and Limbaugh, and I think they do have guests on. Their guests tend to support their leaning.
Because who would go on? If you watch their show and you're of the opposite opinion, who would go on and be slaughtered? That's why they can't get guests from the other side.
Oh, I don't watch Limbaugh, but I have seen Maddow have people that disagree with her.
Few and far between.
It is few and far between.
Few and far between.
Yeah, because they wouldn't go on.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Jack.
Yes.
It's your anniversary. Have you guys ate into the sauce yet?
No, we haven't got into the sauce yet. Maybe tonight during the 7 to 9 program.
Are you going to do it tonight?
We might do it. Who knows? You never know.
Well, I'm going to listen.
Well, thank you.
You should have asked him to bring the sauce down.
You know, it's interesting. That's our Christmas tradition.
Yeah, I know it is.
Not at the Christmas party, but the last show before Christmas is the sauce program.
One of my favorites. You know, another thing, and you had asked what my favorite shows would be put in the time capsule. Actually, I think our show for the last, 3-4 months,
something
since
like
we've been covering for Charlie, I think most of our shows are quite interesting because of the differences from which we come.
Well, I think it's a conversation.
Yeah, it is.
And I like that we're not talking 90% of the time about news. We're usually talking about human emotion, human feeling, perspective.
Well, talking about girls.
No, you think they're about girls. I think they're about people in general.
Yeah. No, I like our show because I think people out there listening do like to hear the conversation. And we do have a difference of opinions.
Just when it comes to cutting people out of your life.
I'm sorry?
Just when it comes to cutting people out of your life.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't understand what, again, and this has become like the long-term, you know, there are several long-running things we have at this station. One of those is...
Glenn doesn't get invited to anything.
You don't get invited to anything, and we have... fruitcake at Christmas poinsettia and poinsettia and all these different little things we have. But, you know, and me and marriage, not, I have an aversion to that. But the whole thing of it is that I just do not understand. Cutting somebody out of your life and not getting upset is not a bad thing. You're not doing that because you hate the person. I mean, you can still have a great affection toward them. There are people who are no longer in my life that if you came up and said, tell me about them, I would say nothing but good things.
Okay.
So why is that such a hard road to go? Why is that such a bad thing to say?
I think a lot of people associate with cutting people out of your life as you're angry with them for some reason.
No. And you know what? I have not cut a lot of people out in my own mind. But what if somebody cuts you out? Now, see, here's another thing.
Yeah.
If somebody cuts you out.
I worry about that every morning when I wake up. Has Scott cut me out?
Is that right? You think about that? If somebody cuts you out, now, see, I don't even get angry with that.
What? With what?
If somebody cuts me out.
Oh, okay.
No, because I think they made a choice.
Okay.
And if they want to be in, they'll let me know.
You can cut you out anytime I want to.
Sure. And all I'll think is, okay, well, something happened, but I'm not going to knock myself out trying to figure out what that is.
The caller knows.
Maybe the caller knows. I hope so. Well, let's see. Who could this be? You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Scott. It's Cousin Brucey.
Oh, Cousin Brucey. How are you?
Very good. I just want to wish you a happy 6th. You know, I must apologize because of this nightmare that we're going through. I don't know what day it is, and I haven't read my emails in about 6 days because I forgot. Well, so then I see today it's your anniversary. Well, good. I'm glad I caught it.
Me too.
Happy anniversary.
I'm so glad to hear from one of the all-time greats, Cousin Brucey. Brucey, thank you so much.
My pleasure. I hope you're having a good anniversary so far.
I, you know, we've heard from a lot of great people this morning, Sam Donaldson and Dick Cavett, and we have a big party planned here tonight, so it's a great day.
Good. Hey, have a wonderful time. Continue going. Continue doing it.
Thank you, Brucey.
Good to you, Scott. Bye-bye.
A legendary radio personality, Cousin Brucey.
Absolutely.
Chalk another one up, Glenn.
He was a hero of mine. I was going to jump in, then I thought, well, he doesn't know my voice from Adam, but I'll keep my mouth shut. But, yeah, I'd love to give him a shout-out. He was fun to listen to.
Hey, good guy. Good Is guy, it? Nice. Well, yeah.
I didn't know him. I mean, like you know him, but
that's right, dear friends that we are.
I didn't cut him out either.
No, and I would never cut Cousin Brucey out. No, he's got a great voice.
Yes, he does.
Great personality. Yeah. Still doing it on Sirius.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Hello, cousin. So that's great. Cousin Brucey called in this morning. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
One of the faves.
You've had so many people. Have you ever figured out how many people you've interviewed that are famous? I mean, it's tough.
Oh, I don't.
I bet 100.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's far. 5,000 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
We're on 5,000 hours.
You can't do
and
that
that's
with
100 here.
People. Yeah.
It's here. You know, about 18 years of doing this on the whole. So, you know.
Did you ever talk to Buckeye Chuck?
Charlie?
No, Buckeye Chuck.
Did I interview the groundhog?
Yeah.
No, I never interviewed the groundhog.
I saw it. I'm not sure whether it was Chuck or whether it was that other one out in Pennsylvania, but I saw them interview. The poor animal didn't know what the heck to go do.
I interviewed some big bear.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, at the fair one year.
And what did it have to say?
Not much. Yeah. Not much. Not much at all. But, you know, so many people, because when I started 18 years ago at WMRN, so many of those people are dead now.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of them alive. Art Linkletter and Tony Curtis and Ernest Borgnine and people like that. Phyllis Diller. All gone now.
Yeah.
Jane Meadows. You know. So I don't know what the number would be on individual people, but it would be enormous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great. I love listening to all your interviews. I never had the guts to do like you do. What did Dick say this morning? You have perseverance or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't get off people's back.
Yeah.
And that's the trick.
Yeah. That's why I didn't do very well in politics, because if they said, no, I don't want to give you any money, that's the last I talked to them.
Well, you know, it's funny, because a few weeks ago, somebody was talking about money and radio. Now, the funny thing about that is, when somebody says, I didn't make any money in radio, or they say, radio doesn't pay anything, you know, that's always a little astonishing to me, because I think they must have done just basic things. Because here's the problem. If you are, let's say you're in local radio, okay, and you come in and you do the local stories every morning and you do the local sports and you do, well, anybody who's been to broadcasting school who can work a microphone can probably do that, mm-hmm. and that's probably why you were lowly paid. Mm-hmm. But if you brought something to the game that was something somebody else could not bring, when you went in for contract renegotiations or when other stations tried to hire you away, they didn't hire you away for nothing. You know, they had to pay a substantial amount of money. And to me, that's a little, first of all, I would do it for free. Absolutely would do it for free. But I don't understand that, because I guess if you did it for pennies, yeah, they'll pay you pennies to do it. But it was probably because you were replaceable.
Yeah. I've been in radio for a lot of years. I'll just leave it at that. I started in a university radio station when I was 18, so a lot of years. and I've done radio every year probably since then in some form, broadcasting football games, basketball games, being on the air like this, and I do it for, and I am doing it for nothing, and I'm glad to do it because I really enjoy it. I like to talk with people, and this is kind of talking with people.
But I think some people, it really bothers them. Because I don't think you mention things that don't bother you. Because, like, I don't...
Explain that.
Well, like, let's say I have a part-time job working at fast food.
Yeah.
Now, they are paying me something.
Yeah.
And I am doing that job probably to be paid. I don't usually go to the workplace and say, man, you guys aren't paying me anything. You know, this is... Because I think they... If you do, you're unhappy with where you are, you're unhappy about the money, and you're just unhappy in general. Like I say, when I would do this for free, the last thing I would ever talk about at any job I ever had in broadcasting would have been money. I never would have talked about money, number one, because I think it makes other people angry if they find out what you make. And then the second thing is, I would do it for free, so I don't... money never entered into the mind.
I was fired for money once. In radio, because I went to my boss. I was working in a station outside of Chicago, and my boss, I also was which almost always happens. I was a salesman as well as an on-the-air personality, and I did sportscasting. And he owed me $3,000. And back in those days, $3,000 was a lot of money. And my wife asked me one morning, "Are you ever going to get paid for all that?" So I went into my boss without thinking anything of it, and I said, "John, are you ever going to pay me the money you owe me on those sales?" And he fired me.
Apparently no was the answer.
Yeah, that was the answer.
No was the answer.
And quite frankly, I moved up from there and out.
Well, see, but as I always tell people, if you define your career and your jobs by money, nobody on their deathbed ever says, "I wish I would have worked another day."
Yeah.
Nobody was. I wish I would have made another dollar.
Very.
And
few.
A matter of fact, it's very strange because let's say you make $1 million in your life, okay? But let's say you live alone. If you get a disease where you can no longer take care of yourself, they're going to take your money because you're going to end up in a nursing home because nobody's taking care of you, and you're going to suffer the same fate that somebody who made $10 in their life made.
Absolutely.
So money to me never drove anything.
Well, that's why you and I get along. I've never been much of a money guy either. I live on Social Security and some annuities that we put aside after I got, but they weren't huge annuities, and I'm fine.
Well, the funny thing is people think that at this station, because we do have so many personalities, that we talk. I don't have money conversations with people on or off the air. Never. Never have.
Well, we are now.
Well, we are now, but it's just bringing up money in general. I never understood it, because how do people know what somebody else is making or have made? Because you might be making a decision now based upon money you've made in the past.
Mm-hmm, which I am.
Yeah. So, but other people have made huge amounts, even in local radio.
Yeah,
I went from one radio station to another, and I didn't just go.
Yeah.
You know? And I went from radio to television, and I didn't just go. So, you know, it's the deals you make.
You got fired both times, right?
Never was fired. that's an odd thing, because a lot of times so many people are fired in radio. Mm-hmm. And that always mystified me, because when I was working at MRN, it was during the Clear Channel days, and I saw a lot of people get fired.
Yeah.
A lot of people who were important get fired. And so when I left, I think people thought I was fired, but I wasn't.
I remember when you left, and I don't think I thought that.
No, I was not fired. Matter of fact, I turned in a resignation letter, and the station manager had a meeting with me and tried to get me to stay. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I did not was because the only reason I left, this is the time to tell the story. It's a simple story.
Why not?
Was that another radio station had been trying to get me to come over there for a long time at better hours and more money. And a television station in town at that time was wanting me to come over there. And neither one of them cared that I was on the radio at the other place. You know, neither deal was exclusive. It was, you know, you can be on television here and still do what you want as long as you get your work done. You can be on radio here and still get your work done. But the place I was working, they did have a problem with me being on in other places. And also, they did have the silliest idea about what they wanted me to do to stick around there. It was an easy thing to do, but
you have to be happy in your job.
You have to, and at that place became very unhappy at one particular point. Yep. But we're going to break, coming back with another hour right after this.
State Marching Band Director, John Waters.
From what I understand, the defamation lawsuit is a $1 million lawsuit. I think that's what's been reported. Who knows if that's correct or not. But if they said, John, we made a mistake just like you said, come on back, would you drop the lawsuit?
We'd have to consider all the, you know, all the pros and cons, because there's been a lot of water over the dam, so to speak. If they would say, yeah, come on back, you know, let's let cooler heads prevail, absolutely, I would get rid of the loss. Now, this was.